First, as we speak, we're in the midst of this hot, extended hot, dry period, tough on critters, tough on crops, tough on people. Any impact you're seeing on the ag side?
Well, there is, especially for our livestock producers. Extreme western North Dakota, or it's actually expanded all the way up to the river now, so it's creeping up into central North Dakota. But we're seeing stress out in the pastures. We're seeing livestock dams, watering sources that are certainly under stress. And livestock producers are starting to think about I'm going to run out of water pretty soon. And the problem with the way the program's developed through USDA, you got to start hitting, I know they made some changes to it, D2, D3, before you start triggering the ability for ECP or ELAP and some of those programs come to effect. At that point, they will help offset the ability to, or offset that cost to haul water and sometimes clean out stock dams or even haul water out there to places or drill wells. The state has, through the Water Commission, we have a program that we've used in the past to help offset in a cost share sense with the same type of things. But you can't use both, so it's an either-or type of deal. We haven't met yet to do that, and there is a conversation that's taking place within DES, Department of Emergency Services, as to how we'll respond, but we have to watch some other factors in this too. So USDA responding to this and us continuing to watch it, trying to figure out, you know, what's going to happen first here and trying to get a better handle on how large this impacted area is.
Can I switch gears over to the DC side? Obviously, there's a full plate. Congress has got to work on a farm bill, maybe another assistance package, E15, and that calendar's getting short in the legislative calendar. It's an election year. What's your faith that we're going to get those things accomplished here in 26?
Well, maybe at the end of 26, but I know there's been some conversation about, well, maybe we'll get it done yet this summer before they go on leave, but the reality is that it's going to happen anytime soon. I don't think it's going to happen. If it does, you know, the stars have to align for everything to work, you know, coming into the end of November, really, before they go into a holiday break. And there's just going to be some really tough things there. I mean, October might have a few things, but there just isn't a whole lot of time yet in 2026.
No doubt input costs have been high. Commodity prices aren't where we'd like to see them. And the need for that relief has been there for some time, and it's still hanging out there. Is it going to be coming too late for some producers, or what's your take?
Well, in North Dakota, we did implement the Farm Financial Stability Loan. So that's helping them buy a little bit of time, but it's something we seriously have to sit down and consider. How much capital does the bank have for us to try and do another round? We've got some challenges here. Prices have started to recover, so that's going to help a little bit, but expenses are still high. Like we said before, it's not that the prices were that bad before, it's just the expenses were so high, and it really put people behind the eight ball. I think there's been a little bit of air that's come out of that balloon, deflated a little bit. When July 1st came, the United States didn't renew USMCA. So when you have these integrated economies, it does create a challenge knowing that our prices are probably going to stay up, and we're going to be struggling with higher parts, supplies, and equipment costs.
Have we seen a lot of farmers and ranchers utilizing those state resources you talked about?
Well, in fact, we sent $500 million out the door but there was about $647 million in requests. So we still have about $147 million that didn't get funded. That's why we have to rethink how we're going to do this. And keep in mind, that's the largest program we've ever done. That was historic. So it just tells you the nature of the issue. The other thing is a few things that are working in our favor versus what the 80s looked like. In the 80s, land values, real estate was dropping in price, and interest rates were high. We don't have those two things right now. Not that interest rates are great, but at least through our program, we were able to offer low interest loans on that. People are going to have to, you know, they're tightening their belt and they're trying to figure out what's the next step here. We're doing the same thing on the farm. We're being careful about what expenses we're spending money on and what we're actually going to fix going into the fall and see if we can buy some time to get into next spring.
Human nature to look at some of those challenges. What do you see as opportunities right now in North Dakota agriculture?
I think there's the ability to keep going out here and trying to work on marketing. And there's quite a few trade missions that are going to be taking place this year, working with USDA, working with NASDA, the National Association of State Departments of Ag. And even here at the department, we've got some scheduled trade missions. There's excitement about where we're going, what we're working on. The world still needs food. It's a matter of how we can work through some of this, get out there, meet with these customers and clients, see where the value of the dollar is as we keep going along, see if we can continue to address tariffs and those types of issues, and work some of these deals out. So that's a plus. I think the other thing is we see animal agriculture that is growing in North Dakota, or at least the potential to grow in North Dakota. That means you don't have to put it down a pit or run it on rubber someplace else. You have the ability now to probably look at a value-added venture, and that's a plus. E15, I know there's a lot of conversation about that. That can certainly have for some stability and put a floor in some areas on these prices. Let's just hope that, you know, suppliers and everybody else, agribusiness and the Main Street in general, doesn't try to exploit that and take advantage of the situation and push prices higher. But those are a couple areas. So we see a growing ethanol industry here in North Dakota. That's another plus. Thank God we got a couple crush facilities for beans and flours and canola. There's talk of potentially some more coming up. There have been some conversations about fertilizer production, serious ones, and working with the Department of Energy on that also. So we'll see where things, you know, transpire and what happens going down that road. I think there's a lot of great news in North Dakota simply because we have the energy, we have the water. It's just a matter of let's help build that infrastructure to get things put in the right place and see what more we can do. There's a lot of other conversation out there about what potential processing could happen too. So, but it takes time. So we could have a couple years into this before we really see things come to fruition.
USDA's got some incentives on that fertilizer side of things, but we know the investment it takes to start from scratch in a fertilizer operation. Is that enough what we get from the federal side to offset that?
Sure. Well, it helps, you know, at least get the project or get some seed money into it, so to speak. But I think what was more impressive, what Department of Energy had available, they had an 80% loan at low interest. They would fund up to 80% with low interest money. That is by far the most appealing I've ever seen or heard of. So if they can pull 20% of their capital together, I mean, they got to go on their project, but they got to, you know, some of these potential operators, they've got to get to that point. So that was some USDA money may really help push some of that down the road and get it going.
We've always talked about animal health challenges, foreign animal health diseases, got screwed over in dealing with avian influenza, African swine fever, those kind of things. Are you comfortable with the federal response we see on basically protecting the U.S. animal agriculture herd?
I think they're doing the best they can. I think some of these challenges are so complex and so big. It isn't like it was in the 50s and 60s. I mean, they talk about, well, yeah, we got a handle on the screw worm back then. You know, when you start talking to some of the people that were around then, they kind of just did things, and we got a handle on it. Now there's a little more structure. There's a lot more things going on that constrain responses, and it's just going to take longer to get a better handle on it. Some things, like with avian influenza, I'm a little discouraged by the lack of identifying what the real source is. And I'll go back to the fact that no one talks about wildlife. Wildlife are the problem. It's not just a biosecurity issue. And every time I hear that, oh, you just need to have better biosecurity. Well, it's irrelevant when you have ducks and geese flying over the top of your farms, your facilities. You're going to have issues. And if start identifying the source and don't put your head in the sand over it. That I get a little frustrated with.
These markets right now are so driven by headlines around the world, everything that's beyond our control. You must be getting a lot of calls, just frustration out there in farm country.
There's a lot of therapy that takes place, and sometimes my job is to just listen. You can try to respond, you know, be thoughtful, empathetic. Most of the time, I think it's just my job to listen, because sometimes if you start to explain something, it almost sounds like you're defending it. And I'm not necessarily defending it, I'm just explaining the situation. People expect responses, especially around this drought. You know, what can we do for emergency hay hauling, and what can we do for water? Well, the problem is you have to trigger some things before those programs can go in place. And in fact, those programs that started in North Dakota 15 years ago, the feds took them over, and now they run them. And when you have this federal entity in place, they build a much different framework. And because it has to stand all the criticism that's going to get thrown at it, they can't be as flexible as we used to be. I mean, we would look at a situation and start making some decisions based on where some county lines were, and at least try to respond, you know, with the adjacent counties too. It's, for the feds, it's not that easy. They can't be quite that nimble, because they're even going to get more criticism from the public for what they do.
Certainly, though, the regulatory environment's different today than maybe it had been in the past.
Yeah, it is different. And that's a good and bad thing, because we've had some over-regulations that have taken place that really hindered and harmed, restricted a response, and yet in some places where things have been dismantled, trying to build that framework back up has been a challenge. And then to have an adequate response back to the public and the industry it's been challenging. You know, we've sat back and tried to help the feds in those situations by just advising or at least sharing some things that we believe would probably help. But, you know, they're short on manpower there, too. A lot of FSA offices don't have quite as many people as they used to, but they're doing a very, very good job with the staff they have.
Speaking of that, with the reorganization at USDA, I think we've got, what, 45 ARS people relocating to North Dakota. Do you see some positive in bringing out of D.C. and more to the farm country?
I do. They're looking at bringing bee research here, which is bringing it right to the heart of one of the largest honey-producing states in the nation. That's going to be significant. Now, I understand, not all of those staff are going to be moving here. A portion of them are. So there's going to be positions to fill. But I think it gives us the ability also to work at a ground zero level and actually be in more communication with the beekeepers, with the industry. And I think there will be a better sense of accomplishment in the end. But it's going to take time. They got to transition through this period of time and get established and start to build the rapport and the relationships and develop some good programs that can continue to advance the industry.